behalf of Thomas R. Engel. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial landscaping business with outdoor parking, storage of vehicles, equipment, and other ancillary storage related to the business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 25.156 acres, more or less, located on the northwest side of Dodd Town Road, approximately 1,600 feet southwest of Harbison Road, Route 5. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 103.09. The 911 address is 20132 Dodd Town Road, Harbison. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on October 22nd. At that time, the number of items were submitted into the record. They deferred that application at that time. At their meeting on November 16th, the Planning Commission did recommend approval of the application for reasons 1 through 8 and then conditions 9A through P. And since then, we have also received a letter from KW at the beach regarding that they are a licensed realtor with Keller Williams, and that it is that the property is decidedly rural area. It is entirely wooded and surrounded by parcels of varying sizes, but all being used as residential or farms, the primary use for AR1 zoning. The application describes something for a staging area for employees, vehicles, and equipment used by the applicant. As such, employees go to the property, travel and work vehicles to remote locations, and then return. That this is an inappropriate location for such business. Not only will it be surrounded by single-family residences, and it is not located on a major and even suitable road. Although many rural roads in Sussex County have been upgraded over the years, Dodd Town is a narrow, old tar and chip road without soldiers and not particularly in good shape. There are five separate residential properties which directly border the property and others in proximity which would be likely affected by the business. And they have concerns with property value and adverse effects from the car and truck traffic, noise, and odors, and that they believe it will have an adverse effect on their quality of life. And that is Elizabeth Velasquez, and that is what we have in the record. Thank you.
Any questions from council?
Yes, that was from a realtor / brokerage company. I mean, did they provide any documentation to substantiate the lowering of values of property?
No, that
just,
was the
just
letter.
A comment.
It was just the letter that was submitted.
So no supporting document?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Baker.
Good afternoon. Again, Aaron Baker from Behrman Dallas Peroxide. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Thomas R. Engel. He, along with his wife, Marcy, own the subject property. And they also own and operate a landscaping business called Double E Lawn Care, which they currently operate out of Lewis, but they would like to move the staging area where employees come in the morning to collect vehicles, work vehicles that is, drop off their vehicles and then take out to different job sites in the county, and then in the evening return the vehicles. They currently live on the property, and the property is a 25-acre parcel that is zoned AR1. It's about a third of a mile southwest of Harbison Road on Dodd Town Road. And the property has been improved, as you can see from the survey that we submitted with our application. It's got a single family home with an attached garage and a detached shed. And that's set back about 400 feet from the roadway. And you can see that on the in that area, that's the home. And then about 1,400 feet back, or a quarter of a mile, from the front property boundary and down a driveway flanked by thick tree growth, there are two 7,000 square foot pole buildings that have been constructed. And because of the distance, 1,400 feet and the trees, neither of these pole buildings are visible from Dodd Town Road. And the Ingalls purchased the property in 2016 with these improvements already in place, including the pole buildings, which based on building permit that were issued were constructed around 2005. Now, the Ingalls have spent a fair amount of time and money cleaning up the back area of the property where those pole buildings are located. And you can see somewhat from these pictures, the previous owner essentially let these pole buildings return to nature. And you can see some large piles of rubbish, trees growing inside of the actual pole buildings. And this is actually after a significant amount of work was already completed to clean that up. And the reason I talk about the work that they did to clean this up is certainly that process involved the removal of a lot of material. Old growth, rubbish, random items. And that required numerous trips with containers and to remove the rubbish and get the area in a condition that was suitable for any use, even a private use as a private landowner. Now, admittedly, the amount of vehicle traffic necessary to clean out this area over the several month period that the cleanup work was being performed did cause some concerns with neighbors. Now, unfortunately, at that time, the concerns about that traffic were not shared with Mr. Engel. So he was going about his work, apparently annoying his neighbors, but was unaware of it. And that's an issue because that work, combined with this application, we believe it have caused a number of his neighbors to mistakenly believe that the work associated with cleaning it up is the same work that we're applying for now. That is, that work was related to his landscaping business and that the approval sought by this council is the approval for, big trucks coming in, removing stuff, and a bunch of vehicle traffic. And that's not the case. The proposed use of the property is a landscaping business only. Their plan, with the county's approval, is to use part of the two existing pole buildings. Part of the two existing pole buildings as places for vehicles, equipment, and materials of the business to be stored, picked up by their employees in the mornings, and returned in the late afternoon of each work day. And basically, they want a home base for their vehicles and equipment during non-business hours and the weekend. And none of the vehicles and equipment to be stored and retrieved from the property requires a CDL license. The Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended a condition that no vehicle using the driveway back towards the pole buildings have more than two axles. We support that condition, absolutely. And the Ingalls are happy to comply with and do support all of the recommended conditions set forth by the Planning and Zoning Commission, which among other things limit the type of business, the number of vehicles and types of vehicles, and importantly prohibit in-person retail transactions. As far as traffic is concerned, DelDOT determined that the number of trips created by this or proposed by this conditional use did not warrant a traffic impact study. The proposed use and especially with the conditions proposed by the Planning and Zoning Commission are consistent with the type and intensity of uses permitted in the AR1 zoning district. For example, if Mr. Engel had wanted, he could use those pole buildings as a commercial greenhouse in the AR1 zoning district and without, conditional use approval that he's required to get for his landscaping business. And the commercial greenhouse, you would expect, would have incidental, truck traffic, deliveries, et cetera. In addition, the use of heavy cultivating machinery and other farm equipment is another permitted use in the AR1 zoning district. Again, that's consistent with the proposed conditional use that we're requesting. It is also consistent with the comprehensive plan and the low density area that the property is in. The applicant's business is, or rather would be, if you approve, centrally located within the county and would provide a valuable service to the citizens of Sussex County and those within the AR1 zoning district in which the property lies. Now, this conclusion is even perhaps more supported by this council's actions in 2011, where you or your predecessors approved ordinance number 2246, which granted a conditional use for a nearby property owner to use his property for his manufactured home installation business as a place for trucks and equipment to be stored, collected by employees in the morning, and returned in the evening. The property approved in 2011 is directly across the road from the Ingalls. And if you can see here, this is the Ingalls single family home, and this is the conditional use property that was approved in 2011. In short, the county has already approved, by way of ordinance 2246, a nearly identical use in a nearly identical location. And just like the council concluded in 2011, this is not an adverse use that would negatively affect surrounding properties. The location of the proposed use cannot be seen from the road, and given the short period of time during each day that the property will be actually used by the business, namely pick up in the morning, drop off in the evening, there's going to be very little activity to disturb neighbors. And adding in those conditions, which we support, limiting the size of vehicles, limiting the number of vehicles, both employee and commercial, and the hours of operation, certainly should alleviate, if not absolutely address, any concerns of the neighbors. As an additional point for this 2011 ordinance, you know, as you can see based on this picture, the operations of the manufactured home demolition business are both much closer to the road than Mr. Ingalls' property, or rather the use is much closer to the road. It's also much closer to neighboring properties. I mean, this is directly adjacent to houses, both to the east and the west, as opposed to here. This is well set back from the road. And for those reasons, we ask the County Council to approve this application for a conditional use.
Okay. I got a question for the...
Would the applicant, condition was the 25, it referenced a 25-acre parcel. Could we be more restrictive and because we've had other cases in the past where we approve a large parcel and the activity looks real small, and next thing you know, they sell the property and the next person expands it and goes on and on. So we don't want a 25-acre, big landscaping business possibly.
It certainly can be limited by testimony here. As far as, you know, procedurally speaking, how the county council might, you know, enforce a restriction, I think is in a large way the same way I think the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended, that is, which is to require final site plan approval by planning and zoning.
Okay, but is the applicant willing to state that he doesn't need a total of 25 acres?
Oh, absolutely.
He could restrict it. In other words, if I could get him on the record saying that the cleared area is sufficient, or how many acres that is, like 2 or 3 acres in that specific area.
Absolutely.
So that when it goes back to P&Z, they have some direction, maybe, as to what we're looking at.
How do I erase this?
Well, condition N says this conditional use N as in Nancy, is not permitted on the entire 25 acres. It shall be limited to the cleared area immediately adjacent to the existing pole buildings and the roadway providing access to this area, and the final site plan shall contain boundaries clearly depicting the conditional use area for the review and approval of the commission.
Okay, yeah, I didn't read down that far. Is the applicant comfortable with that condition?
You know, I know for a fact he is.
Okay, well, let's get him on the record.
Yes.
Thomas.
The P&Z did that. Yes.
Thomas Engel, 20104 Dowdtown Road. 100%, I just want to run my business out of that. I'm going to say 3 to 4 acres that's cleared. And okay. There's a little bit more cleared than what you see there, probably about another 20 foot around all the way. So it's probably within, I would say, 4 acres.
Okay. I have a question. Mr. Baker, do you know if there's any restrictive covenants on this 25-acre parcel that limit it to residential uses only?
I'm not aware of any.
Did you look?
No.
Well, I'm not aware of any either. I haven't looked. Is it something, Mr. Moore, that we should, because these are lots that have been laid out, and obviously years ago, and they many times they did put deed restrictions in for it'd be nice to know that up front as opposed to
if this were deferred, I would request that we have an opportunity to check that, have Mr.
Sure.
Baker,
I mean,
have him provide
check that and provide
this,
that to
okay,
me.
Again, I'll not to speak over anybody. This property again was purchased recently in 2016, and my office did the real estate transaction. So finding that information should not be an issue.
Okay, that'd be great.
And nor has anyone. Yeah, I didn't look, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I just have one question. The 12 commercial vehicles, including trailers. I mean, I've gone by the site on New Road mm-hmm. numerous times. This one I can't see in the back, so I really have. And it seems like he's pushing the limit pretty hard just on New Road. So with that, is 12 the total number of trucks, trailers, backhoes? Is that the whole number?
So. I think the commercial, what we proposed as a condition before planning and zoning was a limit to 12 commercial vehicles. I'm not sure exactly where the condition inclusive of trailers came from, but Mr. Engel, is the trailers, do you have more than 12 trucks and 12 trailers?
Yes, I currently have 10 vehicles and 7 trailers.
Are you going to still continue to have both sites?
No.
You're just going to get rid of the site currently?
Yes.
And go to this
yes,
site?
Yes, 100%.
So you're moving it. Okay.
And then there's vehicles that go on the trailers, right?
Well, vehicle, like lawnmowers.
Backhoes or something?
No, no backhoes. I have 2 skid steers that we basically just keep at the shop for loading material, and I use them for snow removal. But I subcontract all my grading. It's smaller machinery is
part of my concern would be, and I don't know if he's leading up to it, but would be that if this site became attractive to another larger landscaper, and we've seen this happen where if we don't really specify it now, that the next you can sell it as a conditional
sure.
use because it runs with the land, that they would be able to push this envelope. So
sure.
I think there's some concern about. I think what you lead to, correct?
That's exactly right. And I just want to, I'd like to get it right because
okay.
I go
yeah,
by
and
your
and
new
I'm
road.
Willing to work within the limitations
mm-hmm.
of the numbers. That
What's your number?
So if is it
so he's
it
got
12,
10 vehicles, 10 I think, commercial vehicles and 7 trailers.
Yeah, yes.
So it'd be 10 on,
yes.
10 off, and if the trailers are hooked to them, 10 and 7. So the employees are coming in, grabbing a truck and leaving.
Correct.
So that's how you, okay.
So total of, what are you thinking? Total of 20? Total like 10 and 10 vehicles and 10 trailers? Or no more than 10, no more than 20 total trailers and commercial vehicles or something like that?
Do you have a question of council?
Yes, Mr. President.
Mr.
Two. Number one is you mentioned earlier that there was not a traffic study conducted, is that
no,
correct?
We got an analysis from Delta. They estimated that the number of trips to be generated by this proposed use would be less than 50 and therefore did not require a traffic impact study.
Okay. Well, what is this? This piece of document here, it says this the traffic studies section has completed its review. So I'm confused.
That is a letter that was submitted by one of the neighbors in the opposition regarding the track, the large trucks going over the road. So that was submitted, and it should state that it was submitted by the opposition at the public hearing before Planning and Zoning Commission regarding that I think it said no vehicles over with so many axles was allowed on the road.
Right. Yeah. It does. It has a name and an address as far as it doesn't say opposition or not. But to this point, so have you seen this?
I have not.
Well, isn't it great to review that public record? How about that? So this document here states, per DLDOT, okay, and I'll quote this. It says, the field observation indicated that Dodtown Road is a tar and chip road with multiple curves and deteriorating pavement condition. As these factors are not conductive to safely accommodating trucks, conducive, I apologize, to safely accommodating trucks, there you go. We are recommending that a, quote, no trucks over two axles exempt local services, unquote, restriction be placed on Dodtown Road with the restriction to become effective upon the placement of the proper signage. So, so you're not aware of this, that basically DLDOT has said, for the record, that they don't want you guys to have anything with more than two axles on this road. So I will ask the question, are the vehicles that you are currently using today, are any of them over two axles?
No, and not only are they not over two axles, Planning and Zoning Commission recommended a condition that no vehicles with more than two axles be permitted on the driveway. So, and we say that we support that.
Okay.
So certainly that's a concern, and again, I think what you're seeing there is something addressing the previous work that was done to clear that property.
Okay, and then so I'm trying to find out which of these line items addresses the axles.
H.
Okay.
Stockpiling. I'm trying to read through here. Is any stockpiling of material like mulch and stuff? Will you be stockpiling here a little bit?
Okay.
Should probably will be, I'm sure.
Yeah, my current location, we do have bins for stone and mulch.
And what kind of vehicles though deliver that stuff?
So I have two small dump trucks under CDLs under 26,000 pounds. They bring in all our material.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and
how many axles?
Just single.
Just two
axles, yes. A Chevy C6500.
And a follow-up question, Mr. President, and that is, this also mentions on this item from DLDOT, to become effective upon placement of proper signage. So what does that mean?
It means it's been approved. They just haven't put the signs up.
That's quite possible. It would become effective once DLDOT installed signage, and that was a recommendation that occur.
Okay, so DLDOT would
install the signage.
Install signage for what? I'm trying to...
That it would say no trucks over two axles with the exception of local deliveries is typically the standard language on that sign.
Got it.
But if you had a tractor trailer load of something, some material, that would be a local delivery. So that would be okay.
Okay.
Is the way I read it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have any more witnesses or anything else to present?
I guess the one thing that I failed to mention previously, there is a condition recommended by the Planning and Zoning that there be one dumpster bin permitted. We're in full support of the rest of the restrictions. We would like that number to be two, one for regular trash and one for recycling. Okay. So to the extent that we have any dispute with any of the conditions, that's the only one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Come forward, please.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, gentlemen, ladies. I'm Rick Burrell. I'm an attorney over in Lewis, and I'm here on behalf of three families who own properties contiguous to the subject premises. My plan today is to make a few remarks myself, and then there is one member of each of the families that would like the opportunity to address the council. And I believe there are individuals who also spoke in opposition at P&Z that I don't represent, so I don't intend to try to foreclose them by any means. The the background of this property is somewhat interesting. It was owned back in the early 2000s by a fellow named Chris Glenn. Like Mr. Engel was, he had a small landscape business at the time called Fresh Cut. He was quite active during the glory years back before the recession, but started taking on too much work, big jobs, started doing site work in addition to his landscaping. And then when the recession hit, he, like many others, went under and went bankrupt. But before that, though, he had built the two pole buildings that you've seen on one of the photographs. It was his intention to operate a landscape business on this property, and one of those buildings was clearly going to hold or house his equipment and vehicles. The other one, interestingly enough, appears to have been set up to be used as something of a barracks or a dormitory for his workforce. I know that's a concept that's been floated in Sussex, particularly over in the beach area over the years, but to my knowledge, it's never been approved. Mr. Glenn withdrew the application before it ever got to this body, so it was the business itself was never approved, nor were the uses they intended for the two buildings. And in fact, although there were building permits on record for those two pole buildings, it does not appear that there have ever been certificates of occupancy issued. So the buildings really can't be used in their present configuration, their present condition. Mr. Baker suggested that a prior conditional use, I think it was 2246, should serve as some sort of precedent for the application before the council today. And I would suggest that that's not an appropriate way to look at that conditional use for a couple of reasons. First of all, in 2011, if you read the facts and the factual background of that conditional use, the business at issue in that case had been in existence for over 30 years. It had apparently evolved in what it was doing over the course of time, but unlike the present situation in which this is a brand new business you're being asked to approve, this was a business that had been there for quite some time, and I would suggest that there's a big difference in trying to say to someone, you can't have something you've been using, something you've had for 30 years. I think what the council was doing in that case was basically validating a long-standing use as much as approving something new. This one, of course, is a brand new business that Mr. Engel wants to start on the property. One of the big issues, and it's been touched on already, is Doddtown Road. It is, and if you've been back there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an old Sussex County tar and chip road. I think when I moved down here in the late 70s, that's pretty much the way every road in Sussex County was built. And although a good many of them have now been upgraded and paved more professionally, this one remains the way it was. It's narrow. It has no shoulders. It's in extremely poor condition. The letter that Mr. Arlette alluded to a few moments ago also pointed out that it's got a lot of sharp turns, very dangerous road, particularly for heavy vehicles like the ones that are going to be frequenting the site. DelDOT, as you pointed out, Mr. Arlette, limited this to two axles for all of those reasons. They didn't insist on a traffic impact study, but I think if you read that letter, the only reason they didn't do it was because the anticipated trips per day was going to be less than 500, and they viewed that as negligible. Now, 500 trips a day might be negligible on Route 1 on a Saturday in July, but on Doddtown Road, any additional traffic, and particularly anything up in the upper levels of the 300 or 400 trips a day, is going to be extremely detrimental to that road, and it's already unsuitable for the uses to which it's being put. I took a look at the current comprehensive development plan. I know it'll be in existence for a few more months yet. It recognizes the current this property as rural, low density, and it links any business development, or suggests that any business development should be confined to uses addressing agricultural activities and single-family dwellings. There's nothing about this application that suggests that it's going to be conducive to the uses of the adjacent and surrounding properties. And in fact, there is a letter that I believe is in the record. It was from Mr. Engel to the neighbors prior to the application or prior to the P&Z hearing, and in which he told them that most of Double E's work is actually out of state. But not only does it not benefit local agriculture or local residences, it doesn't even benefit anything in Sussex County. And that's an important aspect of the current comprehensive development plan. I also took a look at the one that you have now before you that's been handed up from PNC. I know you're probably all in the process of digging into that. It elaborates a little bit on this property and properties like it, which are decidedly rural. In fact, the thing that jumps out in the land use section of that proposed plan is the vision statement, and it emphasizes the need to preserve the rural character of Sussex County. We would be hard put to find other properties that would be considered more rural than this one and the area in which it is located. The new plan suggests that property in those rural low-density areas should be retained, should be studied very carefully by the county. And in fact, when it publishes the future goals, which you will see on page 28 of that new plan, it suggests that any growth be limited to the designated growth areas, which typically are in or around existing municipalities, where infrastructure like sewer and water is available or is going to be in the relatively near future, along major roads capable of handling commercial enterprises, and where the character of the surrounding area is conducive to commercial development. There is nothing about the current property, nothing about the current situation that is the least bit conducive to a commercial enterprise. I also looked at the code of Sussex County as it relates to conditional uses, and this one in particular. I think there's really a fundamental question in that regard as to whether or not this use is suitable for a conditional use in the first place. Council alluded to a similarity that it might have to a greenhouse, but I'm not sure that there's anything comparable between the current application and a greenhouse, and there's certainly nothing in the record that would support that analogy. And so you end up with the sort of the catch-all provision under section 22 that says you can consider commercial uses when the purposes of the chapter are more fully met by issuing a conditional use permit. When you look at the purposes of the county zoning ordinance as it exists now, it tells us that we're supposed to be promoting the health, safety, and general welfare of the population of Sussex, that we should be lessening congestion on the roads, not increasing it, as this application would, and that we should be looking to conserve or preserve property values. And in that regard, Ms. Cornwell pointed out a letter that has been submitted by a local real estate broker that emphasized that not only would this adversely affect the quality of life of the adjacent residents, but would actually cause a depreciation of their property values. Under the conditional use ordinance itself.
Oh boy.
You guys pay the electric
bill. Well, this is a first.
We're on a timer nowadays, folks. We're on a timer.
You could have just said stop or give me a 5 minute warning or something.
Yeah, we always blink the lights.
Well, actually, I was toward the end.
Actually, you may want to stop because we do record everything.
It is. It's still recording.
It's still recording.
It sounds like these are still on.
And everything's on. So
the light is on. Yeah. It appears.
I was to the point where I was just addressing section 171, which is the general standard for conditional uses, and you're familiar with it. It's for uses that are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County. And once again, I don't believe we have heard any evidence.
We're not taping.
Okay. It's still counting.
Pardon?
It's still counting.
It might be counting, but we're not taping, he says.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we need to tape for the record.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll just take a pause. Don't run away.
Dan's back there checking on us.
We're going to take a pause.